I'd like to talk to you in this session about the qualifications that are needed to be in leadership, especially leadership of a house church or a new house church, or maybe you're taking over a house church that's there now. And by the way, we must remember that there are many levels of leadership. And so if you're called to be a house church leader, that's fantastic. I would hope you could at first be an assistant house church leader if possible. Maybe you don't know anybody that's leading a house church, then hey, go for it. God will give you grace. Build a team and go start a house church and do all you can with others. Jesus sent people out two by two, so much you can do it with others. But what are some of these qualifications we need to be aware of? Well, the scriptures give us various lists of qualifications in the New Testament, but you know what I found? I found that even though we're going to look at many of these qualifications, I found that God knows us well enough and loves us enough that He'll take us through whatever we need to go through to prepare us for leadership. And so I've been through so many tests in my life. I mentioned in an earlier session that, you know, when I started in leadership, I brought in six leaders, all co-equal leaders. And I said, we're going to all lead together because of my insecurities. And then those the fathers in the Lord in the early days who helped us understand that, yes, you have a team, but there's always leadership on the team of some kind. Someone needs to be the James that we see in Acts 15 when the Jerusalem Council formed. James was stood up and listened to what God was saying through everybody and kind of gave the verdict that you always need that. But I learned that the hard way. I mean, we had some very powerful, good, amazing leaders that were involved in the early days of our house church planting that we lost to other parts of the body of Christ, and by the grace of God, we're friends today because God's the God of restoration. But I look back, and I was just an immature leader, and I just didn't know a lot of these things. And as I look back, I realize there's a lot of tests that God will take us through. He'll take us through all kind of tests to get you where He wants you. And in fact, a couple years ago, I started to write these tests down, and I put them in this little book called The 21 Tests of Effective Leadership. And so, you know, the kind of tests, here's some of the tests that I've had to walk through personally that you may have to walk through too in your life. Maybe some of these, maybe all of these. One's the test of your calling. Are you doing what you're doing because God's called you? Are you doing it because somebody else thinks you should do it? If somebody can talk you into it, I can promise you somebody else is going to talk you out of it. There's a test of humility. And it's just of realizing that any good thing that happens is because Jesus does it through us. Humility isn't some religious thing where you walk around with your head bowed. True humility is realizing without Jesus, we can do nothing. We need Him desperately. There's a test of teamwork. Can we build a team? You know, people are wired differently. You need people on a team with you who are different than you. I find some people are what I call a lengthener. There are people that are the evangelists, the apostles. They're thinking of lengthening. You know, Isaiah 54 gives the prophetic word of lengthening and strengthening. Getting our stakes strengthened, our 10 pegs we're getting lengthened. We need lengtheners and strengtheners. So, for example, if someone's apostolic, they're more of a lengthener. If someone's evangelistic, there's more of a lengthener. You just bring people into our church. Even in the house church, you need these different kinds of gifts. Strengtheners are pastors. They're simply saying, we got to shepherd people, help them grow in God. The teachers are strengtheners, helping people be strengthened in the Word of God and in the Scriptures. And then there's those who have prophetic calls. Sometimes they're lengtheners, sometimes they're strengtheners. I have found in every nation of the world that I've gone to, about 75 to 80% of all leaders are strengtheners. And about 20 to 25% are what I call a lengthener. Now, why is that important? Because you've got to know who you are. If you have all lengtheners on the team, it's not going to work. If you have all strengtheners, you need some of both so you can really work together and build teams. It's a test. There's a test of releasing others. Can we release people God's brought into our lives that we train, that we hope will stay with us forever, and we have to release them to have their own ministry, their own house church, their own whatever ministry? Can we do that? That's a test that we go through. The test of priorities. What are our priorities? Obviously, it starts with our priority with Jesus and knowing Him and prayer and walking with Him and the priority of our family and those things that are so important. It's a test. The test of change and transition. Can you go through change without losing everything? Can you go through change and help people walk through a change without them somehow being reactionary against that change? And we take it slow, step by step by step. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. There's the test of criticism. I don't like criticism. Most leaders don't like it, but we get it. How do we handle criticism when it comes? It's a test of dependency. We got to realize our dependency must be on God, not on the good things we've done. The test of conflict. I mean, most leaders don't like conflict, but conflict is good when we deal with it in a healthy way. Sometimes there's this elephant in the middle of the room, as we say, no one wants to talk about it. No, we need to talk about it. We need to find ways to work through conflict. There's the test of vision. Do we have a vision, and can we impart that vision to others? Can we walk that vision out? If you have a vision to start a house church, can you walk that out with others that God has brought into your life? Can you, as we said in past sessions, write the vision down, as we see in Habakkuk in chapter 2? There's a test of love. We make decisions motivated by servanthood and love, not because of what it would do for us. The test of integrity. Are we the same when we're in public as we're in private? That's, again, clear servant leadership. That's a test that we'll go through. Test of security. Are we secure in who we are and who God is in us? Or is our security in what we do? That's a test. The test of grace. Do we depend on the grace of God for everything? Or do we somehow get offended when things don't go the way we think we should go? The test of unmet expectations. That's huge. And if we have time, maybe later in one of the classes here, we can talk more about that. But many, many, many leaders fail, even house church leaders fail, because of unmet expectations. They were so sure the house church was going to look a certain way, and it turned out differently. They're so sure someone's going to come and help them, and it didn't happen. And Hebrews 12, verse 15 is clear. Make sure you don't fall short of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springs up, and not only defiles you, but defiles many others. What happens is when our expectations aren't met, here's what happens all at once. We say, well, we don't say, well, God, your grace will cover me. We say, I don't believe they did that. We get forgiveness in our heart. That little root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. It's a test. We'll go through these. These are extremely important to understand, because these, plus what we see in Titus and Timothy, you know, all the qualifications, they all fit together to be the leader we're called to be. The test of finance. And the test of trusting God for finance and knowing how to use finance properly, integrity with finances. The comparison test, we always compare up. We compare what, you know, the goal is, what does God call us to do? Whenever I compare myself to somebody else, one of two things happens. If I think I'm doing a better job than them, I get proud. If I think they're doing a better job than me, I get depressed. So I look to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you saying for my life? We can learn from others. We should never compare ourselves with others. Then there's a perseverance test. Effective leaders refuse to quit. And then there's a success test. Sometimes the greatest test is when you're successful. And things seem to work out exactly the way you thought they're going to. And then we think that somehow we did this. And really it was God doing it through us. It was the grace of God in us. And the test of timing. You know, Ecclesiastes says it clearly. To everything, there's a season. There's a time for everything under heaven. And, you know, we can have the right vision. And when it comes to starting a house church, you know, for you to start a house church, make sure you have the timing of God. Take time to pray. Take time to build a team. Walk through some processes. And make sure it's the timing of God. Moses had the right vision. Deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. But he had the wrong timing. Missed it by 40 years. Now, the good news is God still came through. And God still used him, and God still empowered him. But he was in the backside of the desert, working under Jethro and I assume others, for 40 years until that happened. And then there's the kingdom test. Are we just building something that's going to be our kingdom? Or is it all about the kingdom of God? Again, the 21 tests of effective leadership. And I wanted to say that because we need to understand that God does love us enough to take us through these tests. He's counted all joy when you get into various tests, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. And what happens then? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But we should ask of God for wisdom, but often it's in light of the test that we're going through. So God loves you. Now, if you're going through some hard times, some tests, hey, join the club. It's a good thing. God's preparing you for leadership. It's awesome. And those the leaders who have gone through the greatest tests are the leaders who have the greatest heart of compassion and servanthood. And a man of God said to me many years ago, he said, you know, I've learned in all my years in leadership, an older man, I don't trust anyone unless they walk with a limp. At first, I didn't know what he meant. And then I thought of Jacob. Remember, he had Jacob. He had this encounter with God, and his eye was touched. But he was a different man from that day on, and he walked with a limp. We often walk with a spiritual limp or We walk with an emotional limp. But I find people who think they have all the answers are the ones that I don't want to build with. I want to build with people who have a heart of compassion and servanthood, who have been tested through the test that God gives and came out on the other side. So, are we qualified to be in leadership? I know we all, you go through those tests and other tests. We all go through that. I'm still going through tests. But the bottom line is, God is the one who qualifies us. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. God wants to use you. He is the great redeemer. It doesn't make much sense. Larry, I've messed up so much. How could God use me? He will. There'll be a time and a place. There's a process. But He wants to use you. I meet so many people today who are just simply not fulfilling their call to ministry. If they would start a house church, they'd find great fulfillment because they're fulfilling the call that's on their lives to be ministers to another generation. So when we look at the New Testament list of qualifications for elders and all those things, how does that apply? Let me read you 1 Timothy 3 and verse 10. It says, they must first be tested, that's what we're talking about, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Now, there's deacons. Deacons are a type of house fellowship leaders in many ways. Of course, there are elders and deacons in the New Testament. And then, as I read before, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, it says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in His body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So God's the one who places people in leadership. So let me just take a moment and just mention a few of the qualifications that we need for leadership that I believe to be a healthy house church leader. And these are very simplistic. If there's areas that you need to change, you can easily make the adjustments where you can meet these qualifications. And the first I would say, I mean, obviously we're called to be servants. We took a whole session on that. We need to have a heart of a servant. That's where it starts. I believe we need to have a clear testimony. 2 Timothy says it like this in chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I believe, Paul says. I'm convinced he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until that day. His testimony was clear. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus did in his life. He could explain his testimony. He knew he's in a relationship with intimacy with God. Leaders are filled with faith. I find in the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 5, they chose Stephen as a deacon because he was a guy who was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So we need to have a sense of faith. And an Indian pastor told me years ago from the nation of India, he said, Larry, I've learned something. I've learned that anointing comes with association. I wasn't quite sure what he meant at first. But then he said this. He said, when I hang around people that have something of God that I need, I can often get that. Anointing, that grace, that gift from God, comes by association with those who have it. And I just want you to know that if you're not a person of faith, hang around people who live faith. Hang around people who have a gift of faith in their lives. And so we can see God do what He wants to do through our lives. And I find that many times in my life. I am indebted to those who walk in faith that I can spend time with, help me with faith in my own life. I find that leaders, future leaders, need to support the church they're in now. You need to enthusiastically support the vision, even if it's not your vision, even if it's different than you think. Honor your leadership. Bless your leadership. Encourage your leadership. What they're building might be something different than you would build, but that's okay. Bless them and what God's called them to do. We're not called to change our church leadership. We're called to pray for them, honor them. God can change them. He will change them. It's like, I'm not called to change my wife. I learned that years ago. I got married. I thought, well, I'm going to change her, and she thought she's going to change me. That didn't work. We ended up before our marriage counselor. That's what happened to us. I tell people, we have 45 years of marriage, 44 amazing years, one really rough year. We were married about 5 years. It was hard because I was trying to change her, and she was trying to change me. But the bottom line is, we can't change other people, but we can have, God will change them and He'll change us. And that's why it's so important to understand. So you're not called to change your leadership, but honor them, bless them. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Remember that. A leader is personable and easy to approach. We need to have some people skills. Do people like you? People say, well, how do I start a house church? Well, gather some people. Do people connect with you? And if they're connecting with you, if your heart's open, you're there to serve them, I love to be with people who want to serve. People want to serve me and help me do what I'm called to do. It's fantastic. And I want to be that for other people in the same way. So leaders have a gift to lead people, and they recognize other people with that gift. There must be some kind of a gift of leadership. You say, I don't know if I have that. Ask your friends. They'll tell you. Ask people who know you. Sometimes I can't see myself in the mirror clearly, but other people can see things that I don't see. A leader should not be a novice. In other words, a house church leader shouldn't just be saved 2 days or 2 weeks or even maybe 2 months. Now, you can fairly quickly ask someone to be an assistant leader. And I encourage house church leaders, have as many assistant leaders as you can. And they can do different things to assist you. Because God is the God of teamwork. Build a team of people. And you know what will happen? They'll watch you lead, and they'll soon be ready to lead themselves. They might lead a bit differently, but they'll be ready to lead themselves because you're the one who is teaching them to do that. If a leader, a potential leader, is married, they should be in unity with their spouses about their decision to lead. Now, I know of many cases, I know of women whose husbands are not believers. Their husbands say, hey, you do what your thing. You want to lead a house church? Fine. That's fine. But if their spouse is very much against it, I would really encourage praying with other leadership, processing that together, not automatically saying, I'm going to do it anyway. So I think it will bring disunity in a marriage. I believe leaders need to be tithing to their local churches. They need to be giving. Tithing. Tithe means 10%. I'll be giving tithes and offerings because if we're not giving where we're placed now, why should we expect God to bless us and we lead a house church and expect other people to tithe there in the same way? Some people say, well, that's his Old Testament. Well, Matthew 23:23, Jesus says it like this. He says, you give a tenth of your spices, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law. In other words, your heart's wrong, he's telling the Pharisees. Then he said this, you should have practiced this. You should have practiced giving, he says, without neglecting the former. So yes, we are called to give. I believe we're called to give way above 10%, but that's just my opinion. The leaders are accountable. Find someone you can be accountable to. If you're going to start a house church, find someone you can connect with. You can do that through ordination, obviously through CLI. And I believe even locally, if you can find someone, a spiritual father we can connect with, even for a season. Remember, when we started, we found some Mennonite bishops who just for a season helped us. Now, we should have found somebody else later. We didn't. We did many years later. But we need to be accountable. I tell leaders this all the time. They say, well, people in our church aren't really accountable. I say, who are you accountable to? Say, well, God, we say, well, they feel the same way. There's a sense of accountability in the body of Christ. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. So who are your leaders? If you're going to be a house church leader, who are your leaders? And then the scripture says, they keep watch over you as men must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. Hebrews 13:17. And so, and again, there's many other, if you look at those lists in Titus and Timothy, there's many other lists of qualifications, but those are some of the main qualifications I believe we need to have clear in our lives as we're going to be leading house churches. Now, I mentioned it before, I just want to mention it one more time. The kind of people God calls to leadership, in many cases, don't think they're called. I never thought I was called until God really had hit me over the head and really showed me clearly. And I find this way it is many times. I find there are many, many times that someone may be called, but they have deep insecurities, or they say, how could God ever use me? Or they're struggling through the whole process. But I want you to know, if that's you, that God's call could be in your life, even though you feel like you may not have what it takes. God says, oh yes, I have what it takes, God says, and I live inside of you. And I'm going to, even though you don't feel qualified, God says, I take those who feel unqualified, and I qualify them. And if our hearts are servant hearts, our hearts are turned to Jesus. We're filled with compassion. We found someone to be accountable to. So we're not just lone rangers out all by ourselves. God will honor us and will bless us and will help us to be the servant leaders that He's called us to be. So right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for any of us that feel like we're not qualified, feel like we've made too many mistakes. And I pray for the healing presence of God to come into your life. And I pray the Lord would give you much grace and give you much strength and give you much confidence in these days that He will use you to see the kingdom of God advance as you plant house churches for the glory of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.